Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hello, how are you? We're on. Is this it right now, Curtis? No. And I wouldn't get a musical interlude, a something. The Wednesday night. It's Tuesday night. The Tuesday night show with Carm and Kelly Kitty. First time ever flying the bird together. Something along those lines. Curtis, you ready for me? You got me something? 3, 2, 1, go. Or not. 3, 2, 1, go. Yay, music. I love music. See, now it's official. 720 WGN. Marlins beat the White Sox. We're continuing till 1 a.m. Kelly Kitley, good to see you.
So good to see you, too.
This is our first ever show together. We've been in the Steve Cochran studio together. I was doing sports. You were doing something.
Was I in with my sisters or was it just me?
I think it was just you, but I could be making that up.
Well, I know you were getting ready to go to a funeral, and you were dressed really nice in a suit.
See, I don't remember who died. My memory might be going the other way here. I couldn't remember. Like I was sitting here before the show tonight with my lovely fiance. I was trying to remember who X and Y and Z was. She's like, you have a terrible memory. I'm a little.
You got to work on that.
How do you
it's
work on
gonna
that?
It's just going to get worse. Crossword puzzles are great. Doing some reading.
He's just old. That's all.
David Jennings in news already just dogging me out of the gate here. You think it's age, John Jennings?
Well, some of us age better than others.
There it is. Fair enough. I don't want to make this into a 3-hour therapy thing, but I love it. I do.
Me too.
Yes. So it could turn into that. And we're here for you, by the way. 312-981-7200. Why don't you tell people what you do in your real life?
My real life. I wear many hats in my real life.
Oh, okay.
So I have a private practice right down the street on Michigan Avenue called Serendipitous Psychotherapy in the Neiman Marcus building. And that is my role as a psychotherapist. I'm also an author and a media expert. And I own Renew Studio with my sisters out in Elmwood Park. And it is a mind, body, soul wellness boutique.
That feels so good. Mind, body, soul, relax.
One stop shop.
Get the feelings out, and then all of a sudden.
Little yoga, then, meditation.
Right. Mm-hmm. See? Be present with the yoga, then right into a meditation. All and you leave and you're ready
refreshed,
to.
Refreshed, renewed.
You're ready to tackle the day. So you should have been here today. Because it was picture day at WGN. Jennings, did you take a picture?
No.
You weren't on the picture list?
No.
Well, that's too bad for you. Or maybe too good for you. I don't know. But it was picture day here, right?
I saw.
You,
oh,
did you?
On the Instagram stories?
Oh,
people
wow.
posing.
I didn't see any. Nobody Instagrammed me, I don't think. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I didn't see you on there.
See, what the...
Steve was front and center.
So, I'm sure.
Of course.
Tons of Steve Cochran, tons of Rokan. Who else was on there? A lot of Bill Laff. Wendy's not back yet. Maybe Harry Tynewitz got in there today. He was filling in. I'm sure John Williams got a lot of love. I'm not feeling inferior at all. You're not getting into that.
Okay. Go ahead.
But so I come in here in the afternoon, right? And it's picture day. I was leaving my other office. I had a little bit of the scruff going on, so I went home. I shaved. I got the coat. I just put a coat on what I'm wearing right now. Just to snazz it up just a little bit. I figured, this wasn't good enough here, just the button down. So I got the coat on, and I'm walking in here, and it's 4:15 in the afternoon. I'm going to be late. I'm supposed to be here at 4, so I'm driving across town, tons of traffic. Where am I going to park? I got to park. If people aren't familiar with WGN, you listen to the radio, you don't come to the station. But so I had to park on Lower Wacker.
Oh, such a nightmare.
Such a nightmare. Yeah. Well, not a nightmare, but it's not the most beautiful part of the city. I'm sprinting up the up ramp, like right in the middle of the cars, because I have no idea where these stairs are or whatever. There's some elevator from Lower Wacker to lift you up to Upper Wacker where we are. So I'm sprinting up the thing. I'm sweating. I walk in, and I'm expecting, like, you know, one dude in there to take a picture, but it's a whole scene in there. They got the makeup person.
Oh, gosh.
They got the umbrellas out. They got, I mean, you know, Tabitha, who's, you know, running the whole show in there, and they're like, you know, just sit down and relax. I don't get how people relax in those situations. Just smile, chill, move your arm a little bit to the right, go a little bit to the left, Carmen.
It's so artificial.
Do you have any advice, Kelly, sitting in your expertise? How do you like chill out in that thing and just be natural? Just
breathe.
Be natural, Mark. Flow.
Breathe.
I'm like, you know, I was like doing like my Karate Kid moves. I was, you know, I was moving up the, I was doing my Ralph Macchio.
And you're all sweaty. At least they had hair and makeup people there to make you look great.
Yeah, I even got like a little bit of the eyebrows got fluffed or brushed or something.
What are they doing with these pictures?
I have no idea.
For the website?
You gotta have a little website presence.
Yeah.
But I'd like to throw that one out to the team. 312-981-7200. You good picture takers out there. Like, how do you do it? I feel like there's a certain skill where women, I think, are better at it than men, and they all of a sudden they just come in and they have that smile they go to. I mean, we just took a picture right now. How do you think we did?
Not that great.
Not that great?
No.
Curtis,
no.
How'd it come out?
It wasn't really
I
organic.
I think it turned out great.
Oh, thank you.
Are you,
you
lying? I can't
Maybe.
Tell.
No, I'm kidding. It looked good. It looked good.
Your son Connor is here. I hope that's okay that I mentioned
that. Oh, of course. Yeah.
He took a picture, too. Connor, can I get a thumbs up or a thumbs down on how that picture that you just took looked? See, we got a thumbs down. It was terrible.
Yeah, he's honest.
And Curtis, you know, the professional, and they're lying away. See?
Well, you know, people are, I do think people are getting to be professional picture takers because everyone takes 9,000 selfies and edits it. And I didn't even know that there are all these filters that you can, like, make yourself look thinner or add some makeup on or, you know, all these enhancers.
Yeah, right, because we can't just look like ourselves. We've got to have the whole glow. We got to look perfect, all that stuff. Yes, Curtis?
I don't know if you can call yourself a professional photographer if you're just taking selfies, which is just the easiest picture you could take.
Well, but there's a, I think you can, hold on a second here. I think there is a certain level of selfie expertise that is out there that others don't have. Like, I can't even really get one down where
I'm a photographer getting out there, all the different angles of the city or wherever you may be.
Right.
I think there's a difference there.
I mean, Kelly and I are both in our, can I say this?
You can.
Okay,
yeah.
So we're both in our, you know, our golden years, our 40s here. I'm in the mid 40s here, an early 40er.
Yeah.
And it's like we're ancient. Mm-hmm. I mean, your son probably can sit here and do a great selfie, right? And we're just like sitting there trying to figure out how to hit the button, and it's embarrassing.
Yeah, he teaches me a lot. That's part of the reason I brought him tonight.
Right?
He's a big techie.
Right.
You know, and I think would do a great job in the booth with you, Curtis.
I've got a seat right next to me.
I'm looking to get this kid a job.
Well, hey, you got to start him young. There's no doubt. All right, 312-981-7200. Picture day at WGN. So, are there pictures up on the website, Curtis? Have you checked it out?
I have not. I'll investigate.
Okay,
that
you need a little investigation there. I probably should have checked that out before we got on the air. But I thought that, you know, it was a big deal, picture day.
Yeah, it looked like it.
Do you remember as a kid, picture day, like a third grade, fifth grade, Kelly going in there at school?
Oh, my gosh, the curled bangs and the Aquanet hairspray and, oh, my gosh, fretting over my hair for an hour. And those pictures always turned out horrible. And
did Mom dress you? Did Dad dress you?
No.
Nothing?
Totally self-sufficient.
Oh, wow.
Which was a problem.
Yeah. And you grew up above a bar around?
I did. I grew up above the Burwood Tap in Lincoln Park.
Above the Burwood Tap?
Yeah, my grandfather owned it.
Oh,
and
my God.
My dad. And, yep, would fall asleep at night listening to the jukebox on the floor. And I've got some great memories. I wrote a book about it. That's how good those memories are.
What's your book?
It's called Myself, an Autobiography of Survival.
And you were how old when you wrote it?
It was only 2 years ago.
So oh,
it was
wow.
right before I turned 40.
How did you get the motivation / confidence, I guess, to write a book?
I always knew it was something I wanted to do. Grew up in Chicago and just loved storytelling and had felt really alone for a lot of my life, and I found connection through hearing other people's stories, and I really wanted to do the same for others. So it was a labor of love, probably from start to finish. You know, I had four kids in between. It took me about 10 years, taking some sabbaticals in between, and self-published it, and it became an Amazon bestseller. So I'm super proud of it.
Self-published?
Yeah.
What does that look like? How do you even do that?
Like I said, it was a labor of love, and so much of it was trial by fire and talking to people who had done it before. And I thought I had a publisher, but he ended up, the publishing company went bankrupt 2 days before we launched.
And then you turn into a bestseller.
Yeah.
That's such a cool story.
Thanks.
You just made a face like you're like you were boasting. It's okay. You can boast.
I know.
What will people get what will they learn in the book if they pick it up?
I hope that they learn how to love their self.
That's huge. That's huge. All right, let's take a quick time out of first one of the night. We're here till 1 o'clock, 312-981-7200. Coming on back here, there's something that Kelly's very excited about. I'm excited about it. Curtis is excited about it. We'll do that next, 720 WGN. Yeah, that's right. June 26th, 2020, Top Gun Maverick.
Woohoo!
The sequel to Top Gun, made in 1986. Tom Cruise, Miles Teller, Jennifer Connelly, John Hamm, Glenn Powell, Lewis Pullman, Ed Harris, Val Kilmer. That's right, Iceman. Iceman is back, Kelly.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know, we were just going through our histories. We're both this, you know, from the same era. And so I, you know, when I saw Top Gun, the trailer come out, I'm thinking to myself, sequels are never that good.
They're not.
But okay, so I sat there and watched the trailer for it. You haven't seen it yet?
I haven't.
Top Gun Maverick. And I had a couple tears come to the eye. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know what happened. How could I possibly be crying for Top Gun Maverick? But I was.
It might be nostalgia, you know, thinking about what it was like back in 86 when Top Gun was first released.
The scary thing is that he still pretty much looks the same as he did in Top Gun. That's scary.
Can we play the trailer here? I don't. Is this going to work well on radio, Curtis? What do you think?
If people use their imagination, just use some sound effects that you can. There's some dialogue there too.
If you're driving, don't do this. But if you're at home and you're hanging out, just close your eyes,
meditate,
just imagine the power of Goose and Iceman and Maverick. Go ahead, Curtis. Let me hear. Oh yeah, here we go. This is so good.
30+ years of service. Combat medals. Citations. Only man to shoot down 3 enemy planes in the last 40 years. Yet you can't get a promotion. You won't retire. Despite your best efforts, you refuse to die. Oh, yeah.
I want to get my Ray-Bans.
Right?
You should be at least a 2-star admiral by now. Yet here you are. Captain. What is that?
It's one of life's mysteries, sir.
Ooh, just leave it right there. That's it. Like, it's one of life's mysteries, sir. Like, I mean, he's still battling the inner demons of Maverick.
Don't you love Ed Harris as the admiral?
Isn't it? It's perfect, right?
It might be pretty good. All right, you convince me.
I think it changed
my mind.
I think this is going to be the greatest sequel ever. I'm so excited. I haven't been to the movies on like debut night since I think maybe like Die Hard 2 back in the day.
Because you work too much. When are you going to fit in a debut?
It's not because of my work schedule, Kelly. You do not know me well enough to say that right now.
I suspect it might be.
You're absolutely right. Spot on. Accurate. I do work too much. What am I supposed to do? I love being on the radio.
You love what you do.
I love what I do.
But you have fun.
And I have fun. What am I going to do? Say no and go watch Top Gun Maverick or I don't know.
We might need to work on you saying no sometimes. Yeah. You know, you're getting married.
You're the perfect guest for him. You really are. You are absolutely the perfect.
Why do you say that, Jennings? I'm not saying that Kelly isn't, but why do you say that? What are you getting at?
Nothing.
No, go there. You can.
I'm not going there. I said what I needed to say, and I'm leaving it alone.
Well, hold on.
Kelly exhibits all the signs of being highly perceptive. She knows what issues you've got going on.
Well, yeah, no, she's.
I told him I wouldn't psychoanalyze on the show.
No, I want you to. Okay. I really do. This
could get interesting.
You don't have to go too deep, Kelly. Just skim the surface just a little.
Total open book right here. I am.
Total open book.
I am.
Nobody is a total open book.
Well, okay, fine, Jennings. That's a fair comment. But I'm pretty damn open. That is true. So hold on. I like what you just said there. I think people in general, maybe myself as well, they have the trouble with that little two-letter word, no. No, I will not. And they don't know how to, and we can go real deep with that, or it can just be as simple as like something that you'll say that you're going to do something and you don't do it, and then you end up getting yourself in trouble because you don't honor the no, and you're afraid to say it because you don't want to hurt someone's feelings or whatever it is.
You might be a people pleaser.
Right.
Yeah. But, practicing no is good boundaries and good self-care too.
Right.
Actually, I like the boundaries part because there are so many of us who don't know how to set them.
You're absolutely right. And it usually is passed down generation to generation because nobody is breaking the cycle.
How do you flex the no muscle?
I tell people to build a hierarchy. So start with things that might be a little easier to say no to. Mm-hmm. Saying no to going and seeing your family for Thanksgiving dinner, probably not going to be that easy.
Right.
So don't start there. But, if somebody asks you if you could, pick up a shift, say.
Going into my life. But I want to say yes to that. But how about I'm trying to think of something that would be something that I probably would want to do, but shouldn't do. Can you drive me to X place, and then next thing you know, you're going to be late. You want to say yes to this friend, but then that would be
that would be good because then you are left feeling agitated and irritable, and
right.
you probably just should have said no because it would have been a lot easier in the long run.
Well, Jennings, the other day, just to give an example at WGN Radio, he was like, "Hey, buddy, can I borrow $20?" And I was like, I don't know how much money I got in my pocket, but I looked and I was there. I was like, and I was happy to do it. But then I was like, is this guy going to pay me back? I don't know. Jennings and I have never exchanged dough. And then
the next day
he gave me the money back because I trusted
him.
As promised. I wasn't even thinking about it. You walked right by me and you handed me a true gentleman, a scholar, all that. But that would have been an incident which would have been a very hard no.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And I, even if I hadn't gotten the $20 back, we'd still be friends and all that. But I would somewhere deep inside me think that dude owes me $20 and he never paid me back and he is
not a nice human being.
Right.
But then it's your responsibility to ask for that $20
well,
back.
But that's a scary thing to do too. Hey man, you owe me that $20.
Or hey, any chance you got that $20 on you?
Why is that so hard?
Because we're afraid of conflict and we're afraid of being rejected. And so people oftentimes don't say what they really need to say or want to say because they're thinking about how that other person is going to react.
Right. Your friend Mary Sandberg, who did a great job on the morning show, she would not be afraid to ask for that $20. You know that, right?
Oh, that's why I love her.
Right. she'd ask all day. I'm being told we got to take a break. Let me read one text to you. 773. Kelly, I moved to 2633 North Burling in May of 1968, pretty much the frontier, then walked to the Burwood Tap regularly to grab a six-pack with mace in my hand. Great memories. So there you go. You're resonating with the 773.
I love it. Yeah. Oh, I love it. All Lots right. of those. I had a lemonade stand on that corner.
Did you really?
I did.
How much was the lemonade?
It was only a quarter, but I made so much money.
Did you really?
Yeah, because I would be out there when all the daytime drinkers were there, and they would buy a lemonade, buy a beer, buy a lemonade.
Okay.
It was great.
See.
I was hustling even at 9.
See, this is where I get the jealousy to the women thing. Like, if a dude was out there selling that lemonade, you'd think they'd buy as much? Let's be honest. Yeah, I
yeah. Know. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a lemonade stand, 249 Cedar Avenue, not the same as the Burwood Tap, and we were out in the Highland Park suburbs. I know I got a break here, Curtis, but I got to tell my lemonade story now. I had the lemonade stand, and, you know, we had about 7 people walk by foot traffic, and maybe 2 people bought lemonade all day. But one time, we'd be on the corner of Sheridan and Dean Road. So there was, you had a little
there's
bit
some action.
Yeah, a little bit of action there. And then one time a truck stopped and he pulled over and he got out. And you know, I'm this 8-year-old Highland Park kid. You got the big trucker coming at you. You're a little terrified. It's not normal activity. And here he's coming at me and he's like, hey, pour me a glass. Yes, sir.
Oh, were you so excited?
Yeah, and pour me another one. Now I'm like, are you going to drink all my lemonade and not pay me, sir? Poured him another one. Pour me another one. 3 of them. And then he gave me like $1, and I thought, which was like 25 cents more than it cost him. It was like the greatest thing that ever happened.
My kids have lemonade stands in Oak Park all the time. They make bank.
It's a great way to start your journey to success. All right, quick timeout news coming up, 720 WGN. It's not every day that we'll play the Michigan fight song. Although I know we got a lot of Go Blue fans out there that listen to WGN. Did you go to Michigan, Kelly?
No. University of Illinois.
Kelly
at Chicago.
Kelly Kittley, Mark Harmon here with you on 720 WGN till 1 o'clock. You went to UIC?
I did.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Circle Campus. Yep.
Good, solid, reputable university gets the job done. UIC almost gets, it doesn't get enough love. UIC, how's that?
Undergrad and grad, I paid for it in cash. I walked in to the financial office with a stack of cash from bartending at the Burwood.
That's so admirable. I love it.
You can do that at a state school.
Yeah, and you got a great education, and look at you. You have a very successful career. You didn't need that Michigan. You didn't need that Harvard. Did you, Kelly?
I did not.
Right.
And I would have been in a lot of debt.
And you would have been in a lot of debt. Exactly right. Michigan, you're going to be in a lot of debt. And you might have really poor judgment, like Tom Brady. That's why we're bringing this up today, team. Tom Brady...
I cannot take you seriously. You are so funny.
You'd
be in a lot of debt.
It's you, right? Debt, Michigan, Harvard. What is it? 70 grand to go to Harvard undergrad. Now listen, I didn't.
I'm talking about your Chicago accent.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Well, I do want to tell you before we move too far ahead here. I did go to the University of Hartford.
Hartford. Yeah.
But if you say it, like sort of like Matt Nagy with his seventh inning stretch the other day when he was saying peanuts, but it didn't really sound like he had the T in there. I mean, I'm pretty certain he didn't. Hartford, Harvard. You know, when you graduate from Highland Park High School with a sub 2.0 GPA, you don't get into Harvard, you get into Hartford.
And but is that where you studied psychology?
I studied psychology at the University of Iowa. I learned about the important things in life at Hartford.
Where is that school?
That's in Connecticut.
It is.
Hartford, Connecticut.
Yeah.
Beautiful Hartford, Connecticut. Yes.
Was that like a 2-year stint?
That was a 1-year stint. I saw the best thing about the University of Hartford is that it's on the East Coast. So I was able to successfully see the Bulls play in Boston Garden, Madison Square Garden, and the Spectrum.
Wow, so then that's worth it.
It was Barkley, Bird, and Patrick Ewing. I mean, that was after they won their first championship. I mean, these were prime years to be on the East Coast seeing Bulls basketball. And then I transferred to Iowa, which I thought was like, that was really cool because now I have, at the time, I want to say it was Sports Channel, so you could watch all the Bulls games. You're a big basketball fan.
I love basketball.
So, right. So that was a big thing. Do you like Fish, the band? P-H?
No, I don't.
Okay. So Fish was like I just remember it was like, they played at the Union in the University of Iowa before they became Fish. And my buddies were like, come on, let's go see this band, Fish, at the Union. I'm like, Bulls are playing the Pistons. I don't really want to go. And then they went and had this, like, it was an amazing concert that was for free at the Student Union.
Oh, wow.
For this band that became, you know.
Huge.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But I was watching Bulls basketball. Anyway, okay, so Tom Brady is very successful on the field, right? I mean, this guy, arguably greatest quarterback of all time, six-time Super
Great
Bowl champ.
Great family. Super successful. Never, handsome.
Never eats a cheeseburger.
Yeah, totally.
Having, you know, right now he's doing Pilates or something. He's hanging upside down. He's got every positive thing doing in his life. Great. but he makes really weird decisions. And his last one, which has gone viral, he walked up to the top of a cliff with his six-year-old daughter, and they did the old jump. So we have audio. It's not great, but this was Tom Brady and his daughter who was not ready to jump. We go all the way out. A little screaming. Here they go. Okay, so you can't, this is radio and you can't see it, right? I get it. But one, two, three, jump. Tom jumps. She's not ready to jump. And he is like dragging his six-year-old off of the cliff into the water. And she lands really awkwardly. And people are killing Tom Brady online.
It's a little traumatizing.
Is it?
It is. It,
right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, she wanted to do it, it looked like. And she was all for it and then changed her mind last second, and he just pulled her in.
Yeah, I mean, people are... So, Tom Brady's comment on Instagram, if Vivi is going to be an Olympic champion one day, it probably won't be in synchronized diving. Daddy always gives her a 10, though.
Oh, come on.
Right? Isn't that weird?
That's very weird.
I saw this, and at first I was uncomfortable, but then I thought, what if he didn't pull her and she just fell? And that's not the one I wanted to read. He said on three, she tried on three, but he counted three go. It was his stupidity, not her hesitation. It makes me wonder how the center knows when to hike the ball. Tom Brady is an idiot. People matter, from the next comment, people matter, liberals. It's amazing that we can literally turn anything into politics. My dad jumped with me on rocks higher than that, and I had the time of my life. LOL, teaching your kids not to be afraid and having fun is what it's all about.
Except when you traumatize them, and then they have a fear of heights for the rest of their life.
Jackie Brudeau, what a good job, Tom, protecting your daughter. This is... I don't...
People think this man can do no wrong.
Do we have the kissing thing? Can I hear Tom...
It's a very short clip.
Can I hear Tom Brady kiss his son on the lips?
It's not so much the kiss, it's more his comments afterwards that kind of gets me a little bit disturbed.
How old is the son in this kissing?
Like 14?
12, something
he
like
is.
That. Yeah, he's like pre-teenager years.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. What do we got?
You know, Jack, everything comes at a cost, bud.
That was like a peck.
Yeah, he said, come on over here and kick. He didn't get the kiss that he wanted. That was like a peck, and then the kid comes back in, and they go for the extended smooch.
Who took this picture?
This was a video. They were doing a documentary, and Tom was getting like some sort of like massage on...
He's
like,
laying on the bed.
He's laying on his back, and his son comes in to like say hi, gives him a quick peck, walks out, and then that's when you hear Tom say at the end, that was only a quick peck, and then he comes back in, and then they go for the bigger smooch, as Carm said.
And it's lengthy.
You know, I can't believe he's getting this much airtime. I lived in Santa Monica for 6 years, and he attended the same church as I did.
Did he really?
Yeah, and the Monsignor at the church was obsessed with him.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably donated a lot to the Catholic Church.
So there is, like, that's like the serious side of it. Guy in power has, everybody is kissing his feet and everything else, right? And he can just do whatever he wants, and people are going to say that's the great Tom Brady. And this is not at the end of the world what he's doing here, but it's really bizarre.
Well, and if somebody else were to do that, I think there would be a lot more negative publicity around it.
Right, and now he's pulling six-year-olds off of... Like, I don't know, do you ever do anything as a young kid with your parents? I can remember being... I think I went to French Lick, Indiana. A little time for a Carm story. Everybody, you know, let's get a s'mores out. And I think my dad, like, went into the water. There was one diving board at this odd resort that the Carmen family went to. And I was a terrible swimmer. My friends would absolutely taunt me at Camp Kawama. They'd be like, Carmen, land lover. And they'd swim after me. Like, and I would try to, like, race to the side to get out of the pool because I thought they were going to drown me and it was going to be over. And so here, he's trying to teach me to dive. Come on, jump, jump, jump. And I'm sitting at the end of the diving board, and I went for it, jumped out, plugged my nose, and he caught me, and then we swam over, and that was my one moment with my father. But that's a sweet moment.
That is a sweet moment.
That's a sweet moment. Brady's kid is going to remember, you remember the time, Dad, that you whipped me off of the cliff into the water, and I landed with the, on my back?
I mean, yeah. That was like a peck.
Remember the time, Dad, that we were on video and you kissed me for 5 seconds?
That was like a peck.
And then, and my friends at school are like, why are you making out with your dad? I mean, come on.
Well, you know, I mean, I have one of those stories, too, where I learned how to swim because my dad threw me in a pool.
For real?
For real. And it worked.
Really? Oh, man. So he really threw you.
Threw me in the pool. My grandparents, another Indiana story, you know, South Bend, Indiana. We'd go drive from Chicago, real short trip to South Bend. We'd go to their heart-shaped pool because my grandfather was a heart doctor. And my dad said, this girl's got to learn how to swim. And he threw me in.
How old were you?
Six.
Six?
Yeah.
No water wings?
No.
just go get him, Kelly. You're good?
You know what? But that's the story of my life. That's how I've learned, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Just
throw her in and she'll figure it out.
Survival.
Yep.
Curtis, you know how to swim over there? Did Dad do anything to you?
I took swimming lessons growing up.
Right. It's the standard procedure. Yeah. Swimming lessons. That's how these things work.
However, I can't float. I literally will go out. Well, I mean, I could float, but not like when I inhale. Like, you know, they tell you like, oh, yeah, inhale your lungs and like lay on your back and you'll float. Nope.
Straight to the bottom?
Yeah. No, not straight to the bottom, but just like, I just kind of bob there.
The old bobbing situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I do remember the Elms pool. Now I'm feeling really creepy. I was the worst. But I did learn through time. One more traumatic story. Can I? And then
the theme this evening.
And then we'll move on. Freshman year, Highland Park High School. Swim class, right? It's gym and it's the swimming quarter.
Co-ed?
I want to say yes.
I'd imagine you'd remember.
I was so traumatized, I don't even remember if there were girls in the class, but I'm pretty certain there were.
Okay.
I remember being in the boys' locker room and having not become a man quite yet and having the weird guy set to wait forever to give me the towel. Would you give me the towel, buddy? Come on, man. You see what's going on here? Hook it up. Russ. But at any rate, aside from that, they were doing the, my main man, Russ. They were trying to figure out what level you were. Are you an expert are you advanced? Are you intermediate? Are you a beginner? Okay. So you had to jump into the pool off the diving board. You know, you dive in and then swim down to the other end. Okay, I can't dive. I'm going to, for one.
And a high school student.
Right.
Uh-huh.
I can't dive. I'm a freshman in high school. There's no chance. And I don't like jumping in without plugging my nose. So I jump off the diving board in front of all the kids, plug my nose, land in the, you know, do the whole thing, come on up, and then you're supposed to do the crawl.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't do the crawl either because you got to breathe and no water goes in my nose and the whole thing. So I just start doing the side stroke on down. And Mr. Wisniewski, the old Wisniewsker, just started screaming at Carmen, crawl! And so then I tried to do the crawl, and it was the worst crawl you've ever seen. Beginner, 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 beginner. That's my. See, I could have been Brady's kid.
Brady's kid. Do you swim now?
Yeah, I do the side stroke, and I do the elementary back in my East Bank Club workout, and I'm good.
Okay. You know, they make those nose plugs now.
Yeah, but then you got to bring it with you, and it's a whole thing, and
goggles
and all that stuff. And it's just not – just give me a nice side, head above water, I'm good. I do a little jumping jacks in the corner.
I can't watch you.
All right, quick timeout, 720 WGN. WGN, Kelly Kitley and Mark Carmen with you till 1 o'clock tonight. Hope you had a great day today. I got word from upper management, by the way, that the picture thing, they are headshots. They're not on the website yet. I hope I didn't speak out of turn. Hope everything's okay. But so there's no pictures of everybody on that you can view.
Well, maybe
WGNRadio.com, which is a great website that you should go to and listen to all sorts of stuff that you missed, right?
Yeah. Well, and maybe those headshots will be posted in some restaurant nearby, you know.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Like at Gibson's.
Right.
You know, when you walk up the stairs, there's all the celebrity pictures. There'll be all the WGN celebrities.
Is it wrong to really just want that? Like, just, I mean, it's such a lame thing.
No,
like,
you're setting goals. You want to be on the wall at Gibson's?
I want to be on the wall at Gibson's. Is that weird? That just feels off. I feel like I should be aiming somewhere. I don't know, higher or lower or left or right, but like,
I think it's perfectly fine.
Like if I walk into like some pizza place in Morton Grove and there's a picture of like Andy Avalos doing weather, smiling at me because he had a beef sandwich there, I want to be that dude.
But why? What do you think you'll get from that?
I don't know. I think I put Colonel Mustard's Last Stand by Northwestern, which is a hot dog stand. I remember just like putting my card up on the wall, hoping that it would just stick up there, and like I could walk in with like a friend and be like, "That's my card. It's still up there. They left it there."
Are you telling me you're looking for some validation?
Yes, okay. Yes, Kelly. Mm-hmm. That's it. What? Okay.
We're just getting started.
Just for one split moment of validation time. What is your recommendation to those who are feeling like they're not, you know, and Kelly's an expert in this, like in the field. So if you feel like, you know, you're not being appreciated, you're working super hard, or maybe it's at home, you're making dinner every night, you're doing the dishes, you're working all day, you're bringing money home, and then you got some bump on a log who's sitting there watching the Tonight Show for the zillionth time, and there's no thank yous going on.
Well, I think what you're telling me is your love language is words of affirmation.
Yes.
Whether it's at home or at work, you feel appreciated when somebody notices or says, thank you, or you're doing a great job. We all need a little bit of validation. But also, I would encourage you to validate yourself.
Right. That's the thing.
Instead of seeking it outside.
Right. Like
yourself.
An internal locus of control, external locus of control. Am I speaking the language
you're
a little
speaking
bit?
Speaking the language, yeah. Right. Yeah, but where's your positive self-talk? You know, before you go to bed tonight, Mark, you're doing great. Look at you worked like a 16-hour day today. Just killing it. You're still hilarious at 11 o'clock.
I'm good enough. I'm smart enough.
And doggone it.
People
they do. Right. People like you.
But positive self-talk is an important thing, is it not?
It's huge because we have so much chatter going on in our heads, and we tend to be our worst critic, too.
Yeah, I mean, I watched your TED Talk. I think you said something at the end about you were really validating yourself. It was beautiful. I'm going a little deep out of nowhere here, but that it really was. Like, you learn to give yourself what you weren't getting elsewhere, and look at you now, Kelly, right?
Right. I'm perfect. So far from
you,
but I've come a long way. Let's just say that.
Yeah, well, but that's the thing too. Like it's all the journey, right? It's not it's all about the learn and grow.
We're all a work in progress.
We don't get to do, but that see. There's not, you don't get to like cross the, I'm 60, I just crossed the finish line and I spiked the ball and I'm going to sit on the couch and I made all my money and now I'm good.
No.
It doesn't work like that.
No, and actually people who get to that point end up feeling really depressed, and you know, that's why it's important to find a job that you love and you feel passionate about.
I'd actually like to put that out there, 312-981-7200. For those of you who have, like, perhaps have gotten a little bit older and are up right now and are listening to this show, I'm just curious, like, what? Maybe you found, like, you know what, I got to this age and I had never done this before in my life, but now I'm doing it and it brings me all sorts of joy that I never imagined. So, like, I look at it like this. I'm going to split life into thirds.
I love it. Go.
So your first third, you're figuring out who you are. You're going through school. You're getting yourself off the ground. You're becoming an actual, in theory, an adult, right? Okay, that's your first third. Second third, hopefully you're into your career. You're making some dough. If you're having a family, you're doing that then, all that. Mm-hmm. And so now you hopefully, in that second third, now you've got some dope stashed away. Kids are on their way into being adults too. And now, okay, third, you're 60 plus. You've made your money. The kids are out. Now you, in theory, should be able to do whatever you want to do, and you get to orient to like really like your what's most important inside of you. And so that I think like what you do with that last 30, whatever, or 20, or 10, or whatever it is years, like it's a beautiful opportunity right there to really give back and make yourself feel beautiful all at the same time. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, but I don't think people should wait that long.
Oh, that's a, okay.
I love those milestones. And when I hit 40, it was life changing for me. I felt like I cared less. I'm pretty vocal anyway and opinionated, but it was just like a coming into of appreciating myself, appreciating the work I've done, and just really liking myself.
You just motivated me right there with that. Like, why do you got to wait till you're 60 to do exactly what you want to do? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and you might not even live that long.
Right, and you might not even live that long. Mm-hmm. That's the other side, too.
Yeah.
I mean, nice. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right, let's, on that note, by the way, fingers crossed that everyone's going to live until you're...
Forever.
Forever. Yeah. Let's go that. And... And when forever stops, then you move along to pancakes and you get to play hoops all day long and hit golf balls, whatever you want to do. Quick timeout news is in 1 minute on 720 WGN. Got a big question we got to tackle here. 11:06, 720 WGN. Mark Harmon and Kelly Kitley with you till 1 o'clock tonight. But before we do that, Kelly, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Okay.
Are you on Facebook?
I am.
Do you accept all friends?
Most.
Most.
Mm-hmm.
Curtis is shaking his head. He does not accept friends. Vic Vaughn, are you there? I know you're busy, but do you accept friends on Facebook?
Yeah, I used to not, and now I do.
Okay.
Because it's just an easier way to connect, you know, with your listeners. And so, yeah, why not?
I'm going to go around the horn here. Kelly, you get to start. Should I accept Lisa Goodwin as a friend? She's got 7 mutual friends. Lisa Goodwin.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yep. All right, I'm in. Lisa, you're in. Let's see here.
The mutual friend thing is, you know, a little more reassuring.
Yeah, that's where I make or break it. If we have multiple
mutuals,
friends, then I'm in. If it's just some stranger friend requesting me, nope.
From a different country, maybe.
What do you think about Brian Rowe? What's your sense on Brian Rowe?
Sounds like a cool guy.
Are you asking us to judge if you should...
Ooh, Kelly's about to jump. Well, yeah.
We should judge the person based on their name, if you should accept them
or not? Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible. I know. Kelly, it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
I'm not playing this game.
But how do I know if I should accept these people? Who are these people? I don't even know who they are.
Well, you look through their profile a little bit.
Right, I'm confirming Brian Rowe. Andrea Nunez, you're in. Lisa Neuber. Nobody. No mutuals.
You know what? I actually friend requested you. You didn't accept my friend
Are you
request.
Serious?
I am.
I don't see any Kelly Kitleys on here.
You haven't posted in a long time. You got to get up on your Facebook.
Nobody listens. Nobody does Facebook anymore. It's all about the Insta. It's all about the Twitter.
Yeah, I heard it's like old
Facebook
moms.
Is like so 2016. Actually, 2009. Curtis, you're young. When did Facebook go away? Now they're paying, by the way, $5 billion. Do you see that? Facebook.
Tell me.
Vic, that's a news story. He walked away. Facebook is paying $5 billion. Hang on. Facebook.
You know, I know people still use it. It is one of my biggest platforms for marketing.
Facebook, $5 billion. Here we go. This month, the Federal Trade Commission is taking steps to finalize the 2 largest fines for data security and privacy violations the agency has ever approved, nearly $5 billion, with a B, for Facebook over its involvement in letting Cambridge Analytica access user data through a researcher at the University of Cambridge, and between $575 million and $700 million for Credit Bureau Equifax for a 2017 breach. So this is, revolving around the election and everything else. $5 billion, and Facebook can write that check. Can you imagine being able to, there's a $5 billion. Okay, that's cool. We're still in business. $5 billion?
Yeah.
That's insane. All right, before we move on to Kelly's very important question here about what you're going to, if you're not, you're going to add on to your family.
not with another child.
Right, right. We got that. Mm-hmm. Hey, Carmen, I'm 66, lifelong contractor, made my money. Now I'm going to be an AmeriCorps volunteer and not in a construction setting. That's from Brian. We're talking about what you do as you get older and change you. That one resonated with you.
Oh, Brian, I love AmeriCorps. Thank you so much for your time that you're donating. I did an AmeriCorps program after my first year of college. I actually took a year off to volunteer to kind of find out what I wanted to do with my life. And that's when I was confirmed that I wanted to be a social worker and a therapist. So it's a great program.
Where did you do AmeriCorps? How does it work?
I went out to San Jose, California, and worked in an inner city school and taught ESL, English as a Second Language, for immigrants.
So you're a 19, 20-year-old college student teaching ESL and figuring out what you're going to do with your life. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Wish I had done something like that. 312. Just a little bit. Carm, since I retired from Northern Illinois University, I'm on the DeKalb City Council and coaching softball at Batavia High School the past six seasons, and I still play fast pitch softball. I'm 67, having a blast. Bill Finucane. Way to go, Bill. I saw Bill. He was out at the White Sox at a fast pitch contest, and I knew I used to work in DeKalb, WLBK, 1360 AM. That was it was my first on-air gig back in the day.
What year was that?
That was 1999, and I had gone to Columbia College. It's story time with Carm. I had gone to Columbia College. A guy by the name of Jonathan Stage was also at Columbia College, so we became friendly, and he was the news director out there, and I was interning and producing and doing other stuff here, and he's like, you want to come out and be on the air? And I said, what's that pay? And he said, it pays $18,500. I was like, $18,500? Yes! I'm in.
Wow.
Plus $50 a game for, play-by-play for high school football, high school basketball, junior college, the Kishwaukee Community College out there. Outstanding organization, institution. So
did you get health benefits, though, most importantly?
I did get health benefits.
Yeah, that's a deal breaker.
And second, my first ever play-by-play game, Kelly, it was a DeKalb Barbs football. They were like winless for 10 seasons. But they played at DeKalb Stadium, where Northern Illinois, the Huskies, play.
Uh-huh.
So you're getting to call a game in this college stadium. So that was kind of cool.
Pretty cool.
So I called this football game. I'm so proud of myself. I'm doing it. I'm going to be the next Bob Costas. This is sweet. And so I'm pulling out of there. I got the station car because you got the equipment in the car or whatever.
Gosh.
So I'm driving down whatever, like the Calb Road it is. And I'm super excited. I'm like, I'm gonna play some music here. So I'm looking down. I'm checking, trying to find whatever station to get a tune rolling on her. Head down, looking at the radio. Wham! Right into the back of a pickup truck.
Oh gosh!
Totaled the station car. 2 weeks on the job. Station manager Dave Vivito. Nearly fired. How fast were you going? I'm telling you, I wasn't going that fast. It's just the pickup was like really high, and this Ford Taurus station wagon was a piece of dirt, and I really, 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 really sorry. So
they didn't fire you?
They did not fire me.
Put you on probation?
I survived. The station went from having two cars to having one car after I was there for 2 weeks. went to the minivan. That's the story. 312. I'm retired in Arizona after three successful careers, raised three daughters, loving it at 65, up and playing a lot of golf. Which is cool, but what do you think, Kelly? You got a look on your face. I can see it.
I'm putting myself in those shoes. I might be a little bored with that.
Right. Right.
Sorry. I mean, for a lot of people, it works.
Right.
But
you're opening the window. Like maybe there's just a little bit more you could do.
Maybe
just no, you don't need to take don't need a full time job.
No.
But maybe something that would give you a little bit more than just going out there with the golf buddies. But hey, live your life, do your thing.
You do you.
You do you. Right. So all right, let's get to your issue here. You're somebody.
Which one?
Well, the one that involves potentially adding a four-legged friend to the family.
Oh,
which
my
one?
Gosh.
You have four kids, right?
Yeah, I have four kids, 13, 11, 9, and 7. And our house is chaotic enough. And my 9-year-old son wrote a persuasive essay about how and why we should get a dog. And that was at the end of the school year. And he has been asking every single day, have we changed our mind? Can we do this? He'll pay for it. He'll walk the dog. He'll pick up the poop. He has a turtle now in the basement that he can barely turn the lights on. And
do you have the letter in front of you?
I don't. That would have been good. Well,
how about that would have been good, but that's okay. If you were to paraphrase the letter outside of what you just said, was it like, dear mom and dad? What are we talking
about? Yeah. Dear mom and dad, I want this more than anything in life.
Wow.
I will not ask for any Christmas presents, any birthday presents. This is the one thing I want in my whole entire life, and you would be the best mom and dad if you got this for me.
312-981-7200. Should Kelly give, how old is he? Nine-year-old
Murphy.
Should Kelly hook up Murphy with a dog? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Now, so where are you at on this?
Well, I'm allergic, and so is my youngest, and all these people are telling, I'm kind of polling other families who have kids and dogs, and everybody tells me, don't do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
It's just a hassle. You got to get home. You got to walk the dog. I mean,
but Murphy's there to do this, isn't he? He's 9 years old.
I know how this works. And I'll be the one needing to get up early and take the dog out when it's 30 below. It just.
Do you have a backyard?
I do. But I don't want poop all over the backyard. Just let the dog out.
Well, that to me actually is the best part about being a dog. Because, we tell you when you can eat, what you can eat, when you can, pretty much when you can drink too,
that's
I guess.
That's the best part.
Well, yeah. I go out in the backyard and I do my thing and I look at you and say, that's right. You pick it up. You, Kelly, get to pick up my stuff. That to me is dog revenge right there. If I was an animal, if there's such a thing as coming back in another form, I think I'd be a great animal, like a tremendous dog.
Well, we're bringing things full circle tonight.
Right. And so for me, that would be a sweet part about being. That's right. Another win right there. Because it's painful that they sit there and they look at the food and they want to eat and nothing.
You have a hard time telling people no.
Right.
But yet you want to come back as an animal and tell people to pick up your poop.
Yeah, it's weird. Flat out weird. It's a little bizarre. I don't disagree. Your son Connor's, do you want a dog in the family? That's a yes from, so how many of the kids want an animal?
All four of them.
All four.
Yeah, we're kind of outnumbered, but let me tell you, I did get a dog for a day. I took them to the shelter, and they fell in love with the dog, and I brought the dog home, and I didn't consult with my husband about it.
Uh-huh.
Caused some problems.
Some friction?
Some conflict.
What was the friction, if you may?
That I didn't consult, and I just brought a dog home.
So it wasn't necessarily what the dog was doing, but he wanted to be consulted?
He wanted to be part of the decision-making process.
Do you tend to make all the decisions, and he felt like this was the final straw? Mm. Not to get too much involved.
To be totally candid, I do have a tendency to make decisions without consulting.
Well, but I mean,
I'm learning. I'm a work in progress.
Right. Well, we all are. We all are. All right. Hold on a second here. 312-981-7200. Should Kelly get a dog? Connie, what's going on here? How are you? Welcome to WGN.
I'm fine.
Do you know Kelly? We need full disclosure here.
No, I don't know Kelly, but okay. I just know that my niece went through this with her daughter. She wanted a cat. So she took her to the Barrington Cat Shelter, found out if she really wanted to take care of cats. She went there. She volunteered. They loved her. She did the best job. And then she knew that she was committed, and they got her a kitten.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Try a shelter. And they had to actually talk the shelter into letting, because she's only 9, but they said, wait, this child takes care of the animals at home, but she loves cats, and let her try it. And she actually put in a fundraiser and raised $1,500 for a park bench to go out for the cats.
Wow, she really earned it.
She did.
Right.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. If the dedication is there, that's what you got to look at, if the dedication is there.
And what you're saying, Connie, if I may, this could create great lessons. Perhaps you're learning, you know, some early parenting skills with the animal and some other professional things that might help Kelly's children advance further with the animal. I'm reaching here, but I'm sure.
Responsibility.
Well, and we also thought, you know, my husband made a suggestion that there are always people in our neighborhood looking for somebody to take care of their dog when they're on vacation. And so that might be a great experience, too, to have a trial of the kids taking care of a dog.
But a shelter animal is waiting. A shelter animal is waiting for, you know, that person to come in that door.
You're right.
And I have two rescues, so I know, and that's what I'm saying. Let them volunteer there because there's so much there. He sees the personalities of the dogs. He gets to know them and see how real responsibility it has to be, that it's a big dedication.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Connie. Appreciate your passion and giving back and helping out some animals. On the other side of the coin is 708. Don't do it. Having a dog is like having a constant 20-month-old child.
See, I agree. I can't go back. I can't do it. So this one day we had this dog that we got from the shelter kept me up all night. It was pooping all over the basement. It was barking. Do you remember that, Connor? Yeah. And I was like...
Connor was shaking, said yes.
Yeah. So when my husband and I got in a fight about the dog, I had no problem returning it.
Well, he said, okay. Well,
yeah. We tried. I mean...
This is about partnering. Partnering is a thing.
Oh, next segment.
Okay, next segment it is. A Watch for Chicago's very own stories with Micah and Joe, Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, weeknights on WGN TV News at 9. Partnering, that's next, 720 WGN.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
We are... working through this, if the Kittley family should get an animal. Do you have a fish? You got a turtle? You got a...
Just a turtle. We had a gecko for a week. Helped another family out.
You had a gecko for a week?
Yeah.
What does the gecko do?
It doesn't do anything. And I think it jumped out of the previous owner's hands and the tail fell off. And so then it was like a disadvantaged gecko.
A disadvantaged gecko? He lost his tail?
Yeah.
Is that what happens to geckos?
Yeah, we're trying out some animals, trying to find a good fit for our family.
Yeah, I always thought the snake was the weirdest thing. I've got a snake. Why would you ever want to have a snake in your house?
Yeah.
Curtis, you got snakes over there? I feel like you're about to back up the snake.
My sister has a guinea pig, which she likes the guinea pigs. You just have to clean the cage and everything. But they do have a little bit of a personality, so you can kind of get to know it. And
your sister has a guinea pig?
Yeah.
What do you do with a guinea pig? Isn't that disgusting?
It runs around. You put it in like a little pen, and it runs around, and it makes noises, and it's really cute, and you can pet it, and yeah, they're cute.
I like
guinea pigs.
We had a hamster growing up, and we got the hamster from the pet store pregnant.
What?
We bought a hamster that was pregnant.
You brought a pregnant hamster?
We did.
Did you know the hamster was pregnant?
No. And then a couple weeks later...
It gave birth?
It gave birth to all these little hamsters.
Oh, my God.
And we put our hands in it, and the mom ended up biting the baby's heads off.
What?
Because it smelled humans on it. So the next morning, we woke up, and there were, like, headless baby hamsters.
This is a really rough turn.
Some traumatizing.
You touched the baby hamsters, and she smelled... The mama bear smelled hands on the babies, and she thought that they were...
Contaminated.
And she ate her own. Wow.
I bet somebody's heard of that. If anybody's heard of mama hamsters biting off their babies' heads.
Mama's hamsters biting off a baby. Can we send this to the Broadcast Hall of Fame Museum for an air check, please? This has got to be right.
Well, and if somebody hasn't heard of it, now they have some new information.
I mean... I had a friend who had a hamster, and who we named affectionately Swampy. And right, what a ridiculous name for a thing, Swampy. And then Swampy died, and he loved Swampy. I mean, this dude loved Swampy. And then Swampy died, and he got another hamster. And guess what he named him? Take a wild guess. Stick with the theme.
Lily pad.
he went with Swampy 2.
No. Did he bury Swampy One in the backyard?
I'm not sure. Let me text him right now. Swampy Two. No one has ever done that in the history of pets.
Oh, so somebody just messaged 630. I would say go to a shelter and get the dog for sure, but I would see if your partner would ever be okay with a dog first.
Yeah, right. Always ask the partner. That's important.
You think I'd know that as a couples therapist?
Mm-hmm. Well,
I forgot that one.
It's hard to practice what you preach. I mean, come on. You're in the moment. You got excited. You thought you were doing what was best for the family.
Thank you.
You trusted yourself.
Where were you when I needed that internal dialogue?
I'm right.
There was no positive self-talk there.
Call me anytime. Agree with Curtis from the 815. Guinea pigs are the cutest.
There you go.
Aww.
Okay, I'm not going there. Real fast, what is this? Kathleen, what's going on? Are you pro or anti-dog?
Oh, I'm totally pro. How can you not? Have you never had an animal? Did you not have any animals when you were a child or your husband?
We both had dogs growing up.
Mm-hmm. And don't you remember the love that you had unconditional love all the time? Or do you have bad experiences?
I have bad experiences. We ended up having to give the dogs away because they got sick, or, you know, one time my dad let a dog go without telling us. I mean, there's some.
Yeah, we still.
I didn't have the best experience, but my husband had great experience with dogs.
This explains a little something here. I mean, hey.
Yeah, I've been bit by a dog a couple times.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, Kathleen, thank you so much. We got to get it to news here, so I apologize for that.
Thanks
for checking in there. Now I'm thinking of my friend Chris, who had Winston the dog, and me and Chris were wrestling in his room, and we were, you know, first grade, second grade, and Chris could beat the living bejesus out of me, but in this particular thing, we were wrestling, I was on top, and this little mutt thought that I was killing Chris, came flying in, wham, got me, and that was a little traumatizing, but, you know, tough Carl over here.
You bounced back.
I bounced back. Mm-hmm. Took me about 20 years and extensive counseling, but I made it through. And that's why I love taking care of Luna the dog, which is my brother's dog, and she's so sweet.
Yeah.
But I think that's the perfect arrangement. When they go out of town, we get the dog. We get him for 2 weeks or a week or a couple of days.
That's a great arrangement.
And then you give it back.
Uh huh.
But I mean, I don't have four kids who are banging on mom and dad's door, so you'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Quick timeout. News is coming up, and then after 11:30. The scooters are causing problems. We'll talk about that. 720 WGN. Yeah. 720 WGN. Mark Harmon, Kelly Kitley with you till 1 a.m. this morning. We've done half the show, Kelly.
Yeah, let's go. We need a revival.
We do? Do you think we're slipping?
I think, you know, let's get up. Let's move around. I like the tunes.
Right. Let me get out of this chair. Let me do a jump up and down here. All right. Okay. All right. Now I'm going to go rent a scooter and go zooming around the city. Have you been on a scooter?
I haven't. I just tried a divvy for the first time last year.
How'd it go?
I loved it. I think it's a great concept. People hate those divvies, though.
I've never divvied, but my fiance recently, she divvied, and I rode my own bike. We rode across the cities. We went to Manny's. We had a breakfast, whole situation going on. And I locked up the divvy along with my bike. It was a whole thing. And then it rained, and we rode back in the rain with the divvy.
Now, why did she use a divvy? Is she not interested in purchasing a bike?
Well, we had a little bit of a situation. Mm. She doesn't have a bike. I tried to get her a bike. We didn't quite measure up to the bike that she wanted. So we're still in the bike inquiry. So we're still in the divvy situation.
So divvy situation's perfect alternative for now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. Right. We'll get there. I trying to, you know, this is a partnering thing. Like, you know, you don't use the bike very often. I don't think you need the, you know, the primo bike, but you want to have a bike that's comfortable. We haven't found the bike that's comfortable.
Yeah, hybrid. I'd go with a hybrid.
The hybrid, yeah. Right, sure. Mm-hmm. So, okay. These scooters are causing massive problems. Did you? Okay.
Yeah. Denver, so much congestion, and people are getting tickets, and there's a lot of reckless riding of these scooters.
Age 34, Denver, Colorado. Reckless. Caitlin Jacobson. Now, this is just reckless to yourself. Life has suddenly changed. Restaurant manager from Boulder. She was at a Rockies game, having a great time, rooting on the rocks, right? Living the Colorado life.
Hopefully she wasn't drinking beers, too, and then getting on that scooter.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then so then she goes and she gets on the scooter when her handlebars caught a fence. She goes headfirst into the ground. And now her diagnosis, quote, is a traumatic brain injury. It's very serious. Half her body is not moving.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
These things are dangerous.
Right, right. Earlier this year, same thing happened to a Minnesota businessman, Henry Brommelkamp. Suffered a traumatic injury riding a scooter. This also was in Denver. And I'm seeing, I just don't like scooters. It's not, you have to be pretty skilled to do it.
Sure. Like, are these people wearing helmets?
That's the other thing. They're just hanging out. Like, right. What's the chance that you're walking around with a helmet?
Right.
So I don't, like, personally, from the city standpoint, I think maybe I'm wrong here, but to me it seems like a huge liability.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, there's a lot of ways to get around. I can take an Uber, I can take a Lyft, I can ride my bike. Mm-hmm. And I'm scared when I'm riding my bike, by the way, in the city. I mean, I got my helmet on, I'm in the bike lane, but I still think people aren't paying attention to dudes in the bike lane or women in the bike lane, right?
No, there's too much going on.
And you got to be able to have bikes in the city, but you better be paying attention when you're on it.
Well, I mean, how many things are we going to have to ride? The Segway, the Divvy, the scooters.
Have you ever been to China?
I haven't.
When I was in Shanghai a couple of years ago, and there's so many people.
What were you doing there? Vacationing? No, you're on vacation.
That's not true, Kelly. I go on vacations. I was working though, and it was the Laureus Sports Award, so I was there for like 4 days. And I mean, cars are flying through the city, like big trucks on like small side streets. Like in here, you would never see it. They're going through like 50 miles an hour. I'm like, oh my God. Like, if you stepped out on the street, you could be dead here. Like there's no, it's a different, the culture is just more intense.
Okay. Good word.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to the train station. They're ordering a train ticket. And the way of the culture is just different than ours. I mean, they're screaming in my mind, like at the person, and I'm like, you're getting a train ticket. What's going on here? But that's, you know, that's how it is. There's
intense.
It was intense.
Yeah.
And so this feels like, I mean, we're just adding on. I don't even understand how this is happening. I think it's a cool concept that I can park this thing here, and it doesn't need to be locked. It's a credit card and all that stuff, and I can just and it doesn't have to be docked like the Divvy situation. But I guess a public service announcement from At the Carm here. You better be a skilled athletic person to be getting on a scooter. This is not for somebody who can't make a layup. And most people I know, they can't make a layup.
Right. So, well, and you can't go on the sidewalk with the scooters. You have to stay in the street.
Right? Is that correct?
That's what I heard.
Okay, and we need a little scooter help here. 312-981-7200. Curtis, you been on a scooter?
I have not.
I don't see you as the scooter type.
I probably will never do it. Not because I don't like scooters. I've had scooters growing up as a kid. I said this before. Can we get like walking the crosswalks when you're allowed to walk the crosswalks down, and like get the Divvy bikers
mining
their own roads before we can get the scooters in here? Like that's the way I look at it. As soon as we get that knocked down, then sure, bring in the scooters.
Yeah. Okay. Let me just say something on the crosswalks, if I may.
Yeah.
If you think that like cars are going to stop for you in the crosswalk, you are out of your mind.
Exactly.
You cannot live like, I'm in the crosswalk. No.
Pedestrians have the right of way.
That is a car. You're a human. They're not paying attention to you. And I'm not, Kelly, you look like you're going to beat me up.
I got a ticket once for jaywalking.
Did you really?
Yeah. It was in Los Angeles. But I was like, come on, I'm from Chicago. Everybody jaywalks.
Oh, I mean, jaywalk is just, that's an everyday thing.
Yeah.
But
ticket. I was 6 months pregnant. I got a ticket.
Ooh.
$60 ticket.
That's unfortunate.
Because I didn't wait for the light to change.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. No. Okay. Well, I see why the look is there. But, the, you know, you'll have, like on LaSalle Street, there will be people that think because they're waiting to cross at the crosswalk, where there's no light, that you should stop. Like, no, hold on. Like, people are not paying that close of attention. Half the people in the car, it's not right, but they're on their phone.
Yeah.
Like, like, don't. And then all of a sudden it turns into a thing where somebody's almost getting run over. And I'm like looking, and I'm watching it from, you know, maybe three cars back. I'm like, you can't just assume that someone's going to stop there. And now we got the scooters.
Too much.
So I'm pro-ban scooter. Let's ban the scooter.
Same.
Can we ban? Do we have the power to do this at 11:45 at night? Phil, doing the...
They've only been released for 3 weeks, so... I think if we raise enough havoc, then maybe...
I just don't think this is something the city needs. I think Lori Lightfoot's doing a nice job. She's got... we've got some... the newest is she's introducing reforms to address Chicago's addictions to fines and fees. Do you see this? Lori Lightfoot, several reforms to how Chicago handles... our fines and fees, including no longer suspending the driver's license of people who haven't paid parking tickets. Like, that's all beautiful. Now, Laurie, next up, just get rid of the scooters. Curtis, tell me we need a break. Can I take this call real quick? Real fast, Curtis. Thank you very much. AJ, real quick on the scooters. What do you got, my friend?
Yes, hi. Yeah, so I visited my son out in California and saw those lovely scooters, fell in love with them, and once I rode them, I was... much to my kids' chagrin. So I'll be 60 here soon.
What do you mean by cooked?
I was hooked.
Oh, hooked. I'm sorry. Cooked. I thought you were injured and damaged, but okay, you were cooked. I got it.
I was hooked. I rode them the first time I was out visiting, and then I just got back about a couple weeks ago. But this time when I took them on Sunset Boulevard, they go up to about 15 miles an hour. So I was in with traffic. But it does, you have to be very careful because any bump, you know, they don't have like, the wheels are pretty hard, so you don't have a lot of give. So you really have to pay attention to any cracks or anything on the road.
AJ, I don't mean to interrupt you, but can you explain what hooked you? Like, what was so good about it?
The freedom of it. It's like being on a swing, you know, you get the air moving. And it's the freedom.
Does it feel different than being on a bike?
It does, because I love to bike.
Yeah, me too.
But it's, I don't know how to explain it, except that it was just, and maybe it's just different.
AJ,
you know, a little bit different.
Do you bungee jump, AJ? You jump out of planes? What do you got? What's the wildest thing you do?
I jumped off a cliff into water.
Mm-hmm.
Just like
Tom
Brady.
Swim.
Oh, really? And you can't swim?
No.
That's scary.
Can I get an age on you, AJ?
I'll be 60 soon.
AJ, you're not playing around.
She's living her best life.
Go. I mean, hey.
But I did fall. So that's what I want to say. There was. You have to be very careful. There's a little grease on the road. Mm-hmm. And I barely turned the wheel and I slid out. I was first in line at the stoplight, so thank goodness, because I wiped out. Thank goodness the cars stopped, and there was some people walking by. I just skinned my knee, but there was people walking by that came over to make sure I was okay. So, you know, that did change my perspective a little bit, but when I heard they were coming to Chicago, I would not ride them downtown.
Yeah. Good.
Okay.
I wouldn't.
Thank you for your contribution and your passion for scooters.
You're welcome.
You get my humor better than anyone's ever gotten my humor.
Good chemistry here going on tonight at WGN Radio.
Right.
My husband just texted me, I'll get all of my kids' scooters before we get any dog. Scooters don't poop.
Oh, my God.
I'm glad to know he's listening.
Can I get a husband's name?
Is Ryan.
Ryan. You're like willing to put your kids in danger over the just getting a friendly animal? Come on, Ryan.
Razors. We'll stick with the Razor scooters.
All right. All right. Okay. I don't want to get in the middle of the family here. It's a beautiful decision, Ryan. Go Kitleys. 720 WGN.
A
Kelly, quick question.
What do you got for me?
How often do you, this is a weird one.
You're like dead serious right now.
Yeah, well, it's a little bizarre question. How often do you change mattresses? Because we just, you know, on the home front here.
Yeah.
We had the mattress, okay? Because this is my pillow got me thinking about the mattress. We had the mattress, and on one side, it's a little bit lower than the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, you know, we can't have that. Got to have perfection in the mattress. So the mattress was under warranty. Send the mattress back. Now we got the brand new mattress.
Are you satisfied?
Completely satisfied. Great mattress. Wonderful.
So it was worth it.
Sleep like a baby. Had this mattress for 2 months. Maybe three. I don't know. Not a year. All of a sudden, back in the same situation. This side is a little bit lower than that side. Wants to go with the return of the mattress. Now, as a partner, I'm supposed to support this, right? You're right. It's a little bit lower on this side. We should get the new mattress.
I'm curious to know what's going on in the bed that this keeps happening.
Well, now we're getting uncomfortable. But I don't really know why this would be a situation. I'm confused, to be honest.
Somebody coming in, jumping on the bed, or
I mean, we've had animals in the bed. It could be an animal situation. Maybe during the day, Luna the dog is sleeping on the side of it, but that's not really it. If I'm being honest, because that bedroom door gets shut, so the dog is not in there. So that's not a thing. We got stuffed animals. Maybe Aku or
you have stuffed animals in
your
bed?
Yeah, I do. Well, we used to have four. Now we're down to like one and a blankie. The blankie is a key component in my life. Where that blankie is and where it's placed, I'm telling you.
Well, that might be putting some weight on the mattress.
Do you wash? You don't have any stuffed animals?
I don't.
You're an adult, right?
My kids do. They're kind of gross, though.
Well, that's the thing. We wash the stuffed animals. They gotta they go to the sink.
You're kidding. You do not have stuffed animals.
No,
in your
I do.
Bed.
I do. I do.
What kind?
We have a duck. Arnold the duck. Stood the test of time. I mean, Arnold the duck is like childhood duck that's still going. And then I recently acquired Aku, which we got at Aku Mall in Mexico, the turtle. And then we picked up Herbie, the dolphin in Florida. And we got Seabiscuit, the horse, up in Mackinac Island.
Stop. You have named them? Are they like...
I know, it's weird.
Are they memories?
I don't know.
Are they trinkets?
Are we on the radio right now? Curtis, we are? Okay, well, quick timeout. Let's get the news. 720 WGN. Happy Wednesday. We made it.
Oh, right. It's Wednesday now.
It is. Crossed over.
Hump day.
Hump day. All right. Today was Taco Tuesday. I got a lot of stories today. Taco Tuesday, right?
Did you have one?
I had a burrito bowl. But let me just ask you, Kelly, because you have your own business, right?
I do.
Okay. What's your business called again?
Serendipitous Psychotherapy.
Right. Serendipitous Psychotherapy, if you're just joining the show. Kelly's been doing a phenomenal job. Great to be with you tonight, by the way.
So fun. Thanks.
We got one more hour to go, and then Nick DiGiulio will be here. But so, my other gig is with fansided.com, and we just moved offices from Uptown to River North.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was a big upgrade. And it's, you know, it's got some fancy digs going on here. So, you know, the big boss men are in town this week. And we're going to have lunch. We have lunch. So we, you know, we're going to get delivery. And the tacos are coming in. It's Taco Tuesday. Everyone's walking around the office. Taco Tuesday. LeBron James. I don't know if people know that one. But regardless, we're excited. And then lunch was supposed to be here at like 12:30. And
where did you guys order from? Chipotle.
We order from Big Wig. See, this is why. Since you answered the... I wasn't going to mention the name. But since you asked, we order from this taco place. Big Wig.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Food's supposed to be there at 12:30. Food's supposed to be there. And then we get a text that's coming at 1:12. Okay. So we go downstairs. We're on the seventh floor. Went downstairs to wait for the tacos to come to fruition.
Stop. Right? Pull it back with that accent.
Okay, my bad. So I go downstairs. I'm hanging out on the street. It's 1:12. It's 120. It's 130. Literally, this place is two blocks from us. So I'm like, I'm just going to walk over there. So I walk over.
Are you pissed?
Well, I'm not even.
You're hungry.
You're hangry. I'm hangry.
Gotcha.
I'm like more just amused. Like, what's going on? So I walk in, and we got like 25 people in the office or whatever it is. And so I walk in, and they're making the order. And now it's 140. I'm like, and I see like the DoorDash guy is hanging out. I'm like, are you taking those over right over there? Yeah, don't worry about it. I got it. No problem. He's like, well, what am I going to do? I'm supposed to accept this. Then it's going to send me over there, and the phone's got to know that I got to be over there. I'm like, well, just go over there on your scooter or whatever.
It's a situation.
Yeah, and say that it's done, and that's it. We'll even tip you. No problem. It's not your fault. Like, whatever's going on here. But so I say, it's 1:45. We're supposed to have lunch an hour ago. I'm like, is there an accommodation for this situation, right?
Great question.
I mean, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Right. And they're like, well, this was a thing with, I think it was either DoorDash or Postmates.
Sure, nobody's fault. Nobody takes responsibility.
Nobody takes responsibility. No. It's on them. If you call them up, I'm like, hold on a second. Like, you're missing the boat here. You have chosen to partner with this company.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they are at fault, but it was your decision to do this. And now we're a new business that's right in the neighborhood. We might come here often. And now you're trying to push it off on them. And now I'm less likely to think that this average burrito bowl that I just had was, maybe before I would have thought, this is better than Chipotle. But now I'm eating, I'm thinking, it's not even as good as Chipotle.
What do you want? Did you want them to throw in an extra taco?
I would have been like, this was like a $200 meal for the office. I'm like, maybe a $25 credit. That's nothing.
We'll get a little bit on the next order, maybe.
Right. Can I give you guys a credit for your next order?
Yeah.
So, and then that entices, it's good business, but they totally missed the boat.
You got a great entrepreneur mind.
Right.
That's how it should have been handled.
Right. Yeah. No problem. Apologize for that. And listen, I'm not even say it was their fault, but this is how you do business.
Mm-hmm.
If Kelly is late to the office and you have a client that's waiting there, how do you make that right? I'm sure this has happened maybe once. No, you're always
never
on time.
Never. Perfect.
Okay,
right?
My bad.
But if it were, let's say it did happen,
right?
I would make sure to make up that time
right.
later in the session,
right.
or
whatever it would be.
I would make it right.
Right. You got to make it right.
Yeah, you do.
Customers are, and I'm not even like the whole, like the customers are always right thing is kind of annoying. And I, if you got a bozo, and I was, I was the worst waiter ever. And I've seen situations where people are completely out of control. It's like, you know what? Don't need your business. Don't want you in my place. And so that's kind of, I know that gets a little slippery, but.
No, the best. Validation or appreciation that our family business had was there was kind of an unspoken policy that for every three beers somebody would buy, they'd get a free shot.
Okay.
So it kept customers happy. It kept them coming in. It was a give and take.
I forgot about that. So your family had a bar, Burwood Tap.
Yeah.
And so, exactly.
And people loved that, you'd get a free drink every once in a while.
Right. I was a bartender at Meyer's Tavern up in Glenview. Do you know Meyer's Tavern?
Great place, yeah.
Great burger, tater tots, the whole thing. And there would be one guy that would come in all the time, and he'd sit at the bar and, be there for a long time. He'd read his book. And,
belly up.
But just having to have an experience. And so, I'm the bartender, but I'm a 22-year-old, 23-year-old kid. So I buy him a couple drinks. He's buying three. It's basically the same ratio.
Yeah.
The owner comes up to me. Let me see his ticket.
Oh jeez.
And I'm like, that's all he had. I was honest. I'm like, he's here all the time. I was taking care of him. And he's like, and the owner, and this is a fair comment all day, I make that decision, not you. I'm like, that's good. Okay.
Ooh, you got in trouble.
In trouble,
tap on the hand.
Little tap on that.
Yeah.
But I Gus, who runs that place, is the greatest. There, God bless him. But he gave me, I make that decision, not you, Carmen. I got it. Thank you. Won't ever have it again.
Lesson learned.
No free drinks for you, buddy, unless Gustav is ready to do it. All right, we were supposed to talk e-cigarettes here, and the FDA is launching its first e-cigarette prevention TV ad. This is part of the, quote, Real Cost campaign. They're trying to educate teens on the dangers of e-cigarette use. If we talk about your past, you grew up in the bar culture. I think you had your first drink at 12 years old.
Absolutely.
So mm-hmm. I think this is something that strikes home with you.
It is. And I think that it is so progressive in terms of enhancing addictive behaviors at a really young age. And these companies cater to preteens and teens, and the fact that the FDA is putting out an awareness commercial targeted towards helping teens recognize the dangers of vaping and e-cigarettes is a start. I think we have a long way to go, but at least they're acknowledging it. And I actually saw today that the CEO of the company Juul had said, you know, it was never our intention to market to young children, but certainly with flavored types of chemicals that they're using in these devices, it certainly is. And I know, you know, as somebody who has an eighth grader, I know it's rampant in middle schools right now.
Rampant?
Yeah.
So you got 7th, 8th graders, just they got their e-cigarettes.
Vaping.
Vaping away.
Yep.
Getting a buzz.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking they're
going
cool.
Through withdrawal symptoms, you know, which increases irritability and agitation and depressed mood. And, you know, these are kids whose brains are developing. And so, you know, regardless of what the substance is, it becomes addictive and obsessive and, you know, has negative consequences.
Well, from your perspective, how do you think that parents allow this to happen or are permissive and or, you know, wanting to be maybe the cool mom who's got the kid that's doing cool things, if you will?
Well, I certainly have treated some of those types of parents in my practice. And sometimes the answer that I hear is, well, it's better than marijuana, or it's better than, you know, it's like a harm reduction technique.
Yeah.
And oftentimes I've heard parents buying it for their kids, but we need to first and foremost have open discussion about it. But I think a lot of parents are in denial. Oh, my child would never do that. Or, I hear about that, but you know, I think oftentimes ignorance is bliss, and that's a parenting technique some parents choose to handle things.
I mean, I'm just thinking about parents who in high school, let them party at my place. I know they're not out, and they
nobody's driving.
Nobody's
safe here.
You know, they're drinking some, but I mean, it's not a ton. And I'm able to see them, and maybe they're even drinking with them, right?
Yeah, I mean, you and I both went to high school on the North Shore. That was certainly the story in high school for me.
I mean, I had old grandparents' parents who that scene wasn't going on for me, but I mm-hmm. would see kids who had crazy setups, you know, all sorts of dough,
mm-hmm.
big houses with, you know, a lot of areas where you could be, you know, hide whatever bottles or and then there's a huge cost to that. I mean, these kids, you're growing up so fast, and
it makes people more susceptible to developing an addiction, because we know the earlier people start, the higher likelihood they are to develop an addiction.
Right. And no bueno.
No bueno. And I'm living proof.
Well, how did you get yourself through?
Because
you're 12 years old, you're having your first drink, it's just young.
Yeah, it was young, you know, and I was surrounded by a drinking culture, and it was really normalized. I mean, we weren't vaping, we were, you know, buying Marlboro Reds and hanging out at dive bars in Rogers Park
at
14 with fake IDs. So, you know, I think that we grew up really fast growing up in the city. And, you know, luckily I had a good friend of mine who had decided to stop drinking a couple months before I did. And I was like, oh, that's what that looks like. That you seem really happy and, you know, comfortable in your skin. And this seems to be working for you. And we both drank very similarly. So I didn't classify as what somebody may think of as a classic, quote, alcoholic.
How old were you at that point?
When I decided to stop drinking?
Yeah.
34.
34, okay. And so your friend was giving you the, hey, What are you doing with your life to act, basically?
Well, she was leading by example.
Yeah.
And I was so curious.
Okay.
So she was somebody who looked like me and who drank similar to me and gave it up. So I decided to follow in her footsteps. And we grew up drinking Mad Dog in paper bags in the alleys in Chicago.
So the e-cigarette thing just scares you because you know what it can do, basically. That's what I'm hearing. I had my, for me growing up, my aunt was a smoker, and it was always just not appealing to me, and I was like, it was like hammered from my parents that cigarettes were bad. But my father smoked, and
And you never smoked?
Like, no.
Not in high school, college?
No. Well, never cigarettes. When I got to college, you know, now and then were, you know, the wacky tobacco took hold for maybe a couple of years.
Yeah. Fish concerts,
right,
you know,
right,
all of it.
Right. But then, you know, for me, I grew up in, and that was the end of that situation. But for cigarettes, like, I mean, I remember being like 10 years old, and my mom would be like, go upstairs and see if your father's smoking. And I would like sneak up the stairs and like peer around the corner, and you could like see the heater. And I'm like, and I'd pop out, and he would be, you know, he'd be embarrassed.
Was he a closet smoker?
He would, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, I mean, like, you know, he's a, you know, World War II, 93-year-old guy. So when they all, you know, back then everybody smoked.
Yeah.
But then you started to, everyone was saying, this is not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
So he would try to quit, not be able to, try to quit, and then I think he quit for good around that time. I think him having a 10-year-old see him, that was enough to, all right, I can't do this anymore.
Oh, wow.
So.
Yeah, yeah. My kids look at smoking as, like, you should go to jail.
Right, right. That's good parenting.
That person is smoking. Oh my gosh.
Right. Well, good job. Curtis, you're nodding your head back over there.
Yeah, I agree with everything you guys are saying. My mom and dad took it a different route. When I was growing up, both my grandparents smoked, and my grandma got emphysema, so she stopped. My grandpa still smoked for a while, but my mom said to both her parents growing up, I don't want my kids around it. So either you guys both quit, or you won't see the kids. That's how she approached
it. And you had really good parents. You got swimming lessons, and you were told. Your grandparents couldn't hang out.
And I never smoked anything growing up, not even wacky tobacco or anything like that.
And you're, what do you know,
I'm
18 20, years
I'm
old?
24.
24. 20,
25 in a couple months.
So nothing in college, huh?
Nope.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Prairie Ridge High School, and I went to Columbia College, Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty impressive. That is so rare that I hear that. Well, especially in my industry. Most people aren't coming and skipping telling me how great life is. But
the same sort of thing.
Kudos
though,
to your family.
I just, the smell of cigarette smoke disgusts me. Same thing with cigar smoke. I can't be around.
Mm.
I have to leave the room or step aside or whatever, wait till people are done. You know, I don't care if they do it. I don't judge people if they do it. It's just I don't want to be around it and have my body inhale that stuff.
You're so wholesome. I love it, Curtis. It makes me feel good. Let's get it. When we're done with the show, we got young Connor here. Can we all have like a cereal dessert? Like we get some Cocoa Puffs out. What do you think, Kelly? No? What do you guys do for dessert in the Kitley household?
We're big cereal fans.
Are you really?
Yeah. Lucky Charms, Fruit Loops.
Late night cereal, or is that a morning thing? Late night cereal.
Yeah, 10 p.m.
Right?
Second dinner.
Such a delicious way to finish off the day.
Big bowl of cereal.
Oh, yeah. A little ice cream. All right. Okay. Well, don't. Hey, team, the e-cigarette thing, you don't need to try it. It's just
it's a gateway drug.
It's going to mess you up. Don't do it. 720 WGN. Kelly Kitley with me on 720 WGN. My name is Mark Carman. Serendipitous psychotherapy is your day job. Stud radio host.
Yeah.
Is this something you want to do? What do you got here, Kelly? Tell me your dreams.
You want me to tell you my secrets?
Yes.
I want to be the next female Dr. Phil.
You want to be the next female Dr. Phil?
I do,
For real?
For real. I love being able to share messages on platforms and change the conversation, and have done a lot of media appearances, and I love it. The thrill and the drive and the energy. Is really nice. So I've been very lucky to be able to balance both.
So what's it like for you when you're given I've watched your TED Talk, I've seen you on You've been on with Megyn Kelly. You've been all over the place, and your son's sitting here right now. When you're speaking vulnerably about yourself, mm-hmm. and your kids are, you know, they're not two,
right?
What's that like?
I think it's that's
the biggest challenge, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, I wrote a book, and they can't read it until they're 18. But I'm just a mom to them at home, and you know, Connor's sister Maggie, who's just 2 years younger, is always like, "Oh, you're on TV. It's so embarrassing." Or, you know, no matter what the topic is. But my kids are probably more psychologically savvy than most kids their age, just because I am very honest with them. And they also know that I'm sober, and that they celebrate my sober anniversary with me every year. So it's good for me, and I think it's good for them.
As Connor just nodding his head, it's really sweet. How many years sober now?
Six and a half
years. Congratulations. That's
Thanks.
Awesome. Such a better way to go about your business, by the way. And I know it's hard. It's, as somebody over here who will like to enjoy a glass of wine and think that that's going to make me feel so much better. I deserve it. I worked super hard.
Dialogue.
What's wrong with a little wine with dinner? I'm gonna relax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, until that doesn't work anymore.
Until that doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
And, well, I think what people, and correct me if I'm wrong here, the way you, what's, I think the hard thing is that you what you think is actually the celebration, where it's a glass of wine, or I'm going to go relax on the beach, or I'm going to, it actually mm-hmm. doesn't feed you as much as engaging more in whatever the next thing is.
Wow, you really get it.
I mean,
yeah, and the fantasy of what that can provide, and you know, right. There's nothing like a first or second sip of wine, but it's not being able to say, "Okay, I've had enough," and kind of leaving it at that. That then creates not feeling good, but
right, and that for me is not really an issue. Like I certainly can have one beer and be done, or one glass, and I don't have an addictive personality like that.
Except for work.
Except, well, yes, that's
addicted to work.
I am a little bit addicted to work, and yeah. There's scarcity there. If we're gonna, you know, I want to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like saying no. I mean, this is a very competitive business, so I do work a lot. And
you're great at what you do.
I'm trying. Thank you very much. But I suppose that could be considered. That's something, the scarcity of it is something that I probably could work on a little bit.
Well, and people are rewarded for working hard. You know, it's a good addiction to have.
Right, and also just, you know, I think there's something to be said outside of just working hard, but people get a lot of just good feelings, for lack of a better way of putting it, from being a process person. Somebody who really gets in there, mm-hmm. and not necessarily being a perfectionist, but enjoying learning and trying to get better, mm-hmm. and crafting something and really making it your best. You know, the greatest athletes of all time, they loved, or at least a lot of them, they loved the process. They loved being in the gym and working on their game. That gave them a lot of satisfaction. It wasn't work to them. They were quote unquote process people,
mm-hmm. and that's a great point.
It ended up in them having tremendous success, but they enjoyed the process. People, a lot of great radio hosts, they love reading and thinking and crafting their takes and what are they going to say that's going to be interesting that they're saying that nobody else is saying. They love it.
Yeah, it's an art. I mean, sports and any kind of creative outlet.
Right. So I don't know where we just got, but I want to talk to you after 12:30 a little bit about bias, if we can.
Oh, let's jump right in.
Let's do some bias, because you have it, even if you want to deny it. 720 WGN. Just having a light conversation or during the break.
Really light. I keep, you know, I'm really bad at small talk. I just go right
Me
in.
Me too. Me too. Let's get to the heart of the matter. Damn
no
it.
BS.
No BS. All right. Let's talk about I like the conversation of bias once in a blue moon. So the blue moon is right now. people, I hear it all the time from people that I work with or people that I'm friends with or random person at the gym. I'll just hear, I'm not biased. I don't see color. And I'm like, come on, man or woman. Yes, you do. I know when I'm talking to you right now, Kelly Kidley, that you are a white woman. That's who I'm speaking to. Just as if an African-American gentleman walked in here, I would know the difference. And so don't say you don't see color. Mm-hmm. It's you're already defending something, and the antenna is up when you say something like that. I instantly think, like, okay, you got all sorts of stuff going on that you won't want to admit to. And then the bias stuff, do we not have this all day long? You think, like, you might have your judgments on the opposite gender, or your own gender, or people's weight,
or somebody's name.
Or somebody's name.
Yeah.
It can be anything.
We all do. And I think that, thank you so much for your honesty. And I think we need to keep having conversations like this, because that is my pet peeve when people say, oh, no, I don't. And I don't, that line, I don't see color. We all have a judgmental filter based, and some of us are worse than others. And a lot of it comes from how we were raised and what we were exposed to. But what I tell people is, we're not responsible for our first thought. It's our preceding thoughts. And what we do with those biases is really the most important piece of it. Do we stay stuck in those judgments, or do we acknowledge that we're having that judgment or that bias and restructure that thought?
Right. So I'm working with you. I have a judgment that you're going to be lazy for whatever.
Sure.
Whatever your trigger is.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a million different things. It could be the gender. It could be your age. It could be the color of your skin. It could be your weight. I mean, it literally could be anything. That's my judgment, that you're lazy. Oh.
Which actually would have nothing to do with me. It would have to do with your own issues.
Exactly right. This is right. Whatever you're avoiding about yourself, as especially when it comes to now we're taking away skin color. Which that would be more like age or weight or something like mm-hmm. that. 312-981-7200. If people want to jump in on this, by the way, yeah. Right, it's actually about you and your own whatever you're insecure about, right?
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people project their own insecurities onto somebody else.
Oh my God.
And having those judgments of other people sometimes make people feel better about themselves.
Right. I'm going to put that on you, and it has actually nothing to. Oh, well, that's another thing too. Here's a little tidbit from from at the Carm on Twitter, and Kelly, feel free to please back this up. When somebody really, really bothers you, chances are they are a reflection of yourself or whatever you don't like in yourself.
100%.
And that one, if you can actually see that, you are so far ahead. At least I feel like you are.
Well, yeah, because so many people have a hard time taking personal responsibility and acknowledging their own faults and acknowledging their own insecurities. And the more we can bring that to light, the easier it is to work through those things and not project our crap onto everybody else.
Well, and that's the other thing. Look, everybody walking around, from the most successful person on the planet, they are all insecure in some way. It's not some character flaw that you have to hide underneath the table from.
It's a human characteristic.
It's a human characteristic. Yeah. Everyone has it.
Even J-Lo. Did you
really?
See that?
J-Lo,
yeah,
has
J-Lo
it too?
Was like crying.
I would have left J-Lo out of it, but okay. What did J-Lo do?
She was crying during after a concert, and A-Rod was like consoling her because she said it was horrible and she didn't feel like herself and she doesn't think her fans really liked her. So even J-Lo has insecurities.
So J-Lo is a recovering perfectionist? Is that what we're hearing here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good language.
Right. Okay. Did you have perfectionism there?
I did. Yeah. Yeah, I've let that go.
Yeah. What's the learning experience that you could pass on that? How do you like
a lot of that's experiential and recognizing that, and a lot of them are mantras too. I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist, so how we think about things then provokes feelings. So if I say to myself, I don't have to be perfect, nobody's perfect, even if I don't believe it, if I continuously tell myself that, my actions will follow.
Interesting. So that's like something that you're saying to yourself. Is that a coaching mechanism? Say this to yourself like five times in an hour or whatever it is?
Yeah, it's restructuring your brain to think differently. I look at it as like a personal trainer at the gym. I'm helping people think differently about their life situation and their experiences.
Yeah, I read where if the entire world could just do 1 year of psychotherapy, just looking at yourself. And I would even say like...
I wish it was a life prerequisite. Like, you came into the world knowing that at some point you would need to go to therapy.
Get some coaching. Coaching
sounds safer for people, I think. So, oh, I'm seeing a coach, not a therapist.
It definitely lessens it down. But, like, therapy, I think some people like will have this, well, then something's wrong with you. You're going to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you... If you want to put it in like under the thing, something's wrong. Well, something's wrong with everyone, man.
I think it's changing. You know, we're certainly breaking the stigma and the silence, but we've got a long way to go.
Okay, all right. The bias thing is just, you know, right. What's going on in the world right now with sender back? And I don't want to go down a deep, dark political thing. I know people get super charged up on this, but I also feel like if it's not brought up, then I feel like complicit. So it's a battle of how to use the power of the microphone to not. Am I really not going to speak about sender back and how uncomfortable it is that I'm watching a video today of a guy who's driving around in his car in Kansas City who is not doing anything and. Agents are breaking through the glass to carry him out of his vehicle with his kid in the car.
Because of what he looked like.
Because of what he looked like, and he's here illegally. It's painful to see this. And so then, like, and then you've got rando people in supermarkets seeing people that don't look like themselves saying, go back to where you came from. I mean, you would like to think that we're better than this, but this stuff has always been there. And now it's like, now we're getting a little bit of a pass for it to come out, and people aren't looking at themselves. And who knows what the future is going to bring here. I mean, I don't know what it looked like. And, you know, I don't want to be an alarmist here, but I don't know what it looked like in Germany in 1910. Mm-hmm. But if things go awry here and we're going to start blaming everyone, I mean, what does that look like for certain groups of people? It's pretty terrifying.
It creates more segregation.
Right. And this is not our best self. I'm sorry. It's just not. So
thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah. And I got fingers crossed that we're going to figure this out in the best. And I also think like the person in office who's doing this, I think he would have run as the most liberal environmentalist if he thought he would have won doing that. Like, I really just think it's about him winning. I don't even know. I don't trust he believes anything of what he says other than the fact that has a strategy on how to win and be him. That's how I see it.
Really?
He used to love Hillary back in the day.
Sure. That's a good point.
I mean, maybe I'm dead wrong on that, but I just think he wants to be the guy.
He's a chameleon. He'll do anything to get the ratings.
Whatever, which way he needs to spin it, that's how I see it, at least. But anyway, okay, when we come on back here, I do want to talk about somebody who rode 300 miles in a lift to say goodbye tonight. Mark Harmon, Kelly Kittley with you on 720 WGN. Another light conversation during the break here. 720 WGN podcast from in between breaks will be out after the show. Curtis, you've been recording, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been on it.
Curtis, I love the bumps.
Right?
I love them. Good music.
Doesn't Curtis just make you feel comfortable? I don't know what Curtis is like, but he's that couch that you come home to and you just want to sit on.
I want to give him a hug before I leave.
Aw.
I'm a hug guy. You can hug me before.
Oh, good. All right, thanks.
So, all right, a couple things here before we get on out here. Nick DiGiulio coming up. Number one, Kelly, I'm going away next week.
Where are you going?
Taking a little time off. You've been banging me on no time off. I've put in for vacation.
Oh, good. This is your homework assignment.
Yes, and we're going up into the UP, Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and we're going to go to the Boyne Mountain Resort. where they have tennis camp for Connor, but they also allow adults to do it, your 13-year-old son. So I'm going to be playing in tennis camp with a bunch of high schoolers, which I did this last year, and it's a little bit odd, but I love it because it's me and head coach Bill Perlmutter. Curtis is laughing. You remember Bill Perlmutter from last year?
I do. I'm picturing you playing tennis with a bunch of
Isabella, and yeah. I mean,
he does provide a visual. I was thinking the same thing. Like, are you in like your white tennis shorts?
Well, see, we've passed the that's like when you were a kid.
Karma, are you a big tennis grunter?
Breathing as you hit the tennis ball is a good thing, Curtis.
I know, but are you like obnoxious about it?
No, I'm not obnoxious about it. I actually I should be more obnoxious about it. I'd be a better player if I let it out more on the grunt. You gotta get in there. Excuse me. Thank you very much. But so my point is here, Kelly. We're trying to partner on this trip, me and my lovely fiance.
Mm-hmm.
And Boy Mountain, like many resort areas, they have different levels of rooms. There's the closet that you can get for, you know, what Karen wants to pay a night. And then there's the cabin. And then there's these suites, and she wants to stay in the suite. And so I'm in this battle. Like, do I give her what she wants, or do I have the fight over, like, I don't really think that's the best economical decision here.
Well, what do you want to do?
Oh, I want to just get a regular room, mm-hmm. and use that money for other things. That's what I want to do, which is, you're nodding your head. Like,
yeah,
that's
I think
logical,
that's totally reasonable.
Reasonable decision, but she really loves the room, and we don't go on a lot of vacations, and it really makes her happy, and it's only a couple $100, and you only live once. And so those are all fair arguments, too. And so
use the suite for the honeymoon.
Suite for the honeymoon.
So say, let's get a regular room here. But then we'll save the money that we used on that for the honeymoon for something much more meaningful and more
very Curtis. adult Curtis thing, which is, by the way, exactly what I said. Well, we're only going on one vacation. I really like this room. We stayed in this room last year, which was part of my problem. I should have gone to the regular room last year.
Oh, you're setting those expectations, Mark. Be careful.
That was my mistake. Now I'm looking in the mirror, and if I had just realized, but I didn't know what I was getting myself into. And I, you know, I didn't really know the resort. And so I was asking, you know, where do you want to stay? Well, we probably want to be in, you know, more on the romantic side than less. And so this is what they gave me. And
okay,
it's a very nice room.
I mean, this is a life lesson. This is going to continue to come up in your relationship forever.
Forevers, right? Yeah. Forevers and evers.
So being able to be solution focused and compromise and negotiate.
What do you tell couples about compromising, Kelly? How do you get them to get there, if you will?
Well, I think it's always important for the other person to see the partner's perspective. Mm-hmm. And it's not about winning. It's about, you know, ultimately what is the best decision for the two of you as a couple and your longevity financially or other trips. And
I like winning, Kelly. I'm a guy, I'm a competitor, but I get what you're saying. I got it. Right. Long term. But so they, okay.
So, sometimes you're going to have to give in and spend the extra couple $100, and sometimes she's going to have to say, you know what, the regular room's okay.
312-981-7200. I'll take advice on this in the last 8 minutes of the show. 312-981-7200. Phone line, text line. But there's the other side of it, too, is sometimes you want to, you know, people don't give themselves nice things because they don't necessarily think they deserve it. And here, you know, you're working so hard. Why not give yourself, you know, the splurge?
You've earned it. You've worked hard for it.
You only live once. You can't, you know, there's all that stuff where it's like, you know what, just enjoy it. But then for me, it's like work to like to lean into actually enjoying it. Like, I'm going to have this nice room,
yeah.
And it's going to be great.
Unplug.
I'm going to sit on the balcony. I'm going to whatever.
I'm
going to drink my glass of wine. Yeah. I'm going to read something interesting that makes me think, and I'm going to be really excited about it.
Are you going to be any more intimate in depending on what room you're in?
I don't know if that will necessarily impact intimacy. But I think one of us will definitely be more happy in that room. And then I just think my side of it is like, You're going to enjoy treating yourself here, Mark. That's the work for me.
Oh, okay. So you need to believe that it's worth it.
Right. I think that's it. One thing that I would never do is what this dude did coming back from O'Hare from an overseas trip. This is probably a good way to wrap up the show. This guy, I'm reading the story. It's by John Scalzi. The title is My 300-Mile Lift Ride from Chicago to Bradford, Ohio. He goes to Spain. He spends a week at the Celsius 232 Festival. Don't know what that is. He flies back from Madrid to Chicago with some stops, and he gets into Chicago, but he's going back to Dayton, Ohio. And his flight gets delayed, and it gets delayed again, and it gets delayed again. And he goes to rent a car, and one of the rental car companies, Hertz, does not take care of him. And the next thing you know, he's like, you know what?
Screw it.
I'm getting an Uber, and I'm paying $330 because I don't want to wait another 3 hours for a flight that's going to come.
Yeah, I would have done the same thing.
Which one?
Jumped in an Uber.
You would have Ubered to Ohio?
At that point, it's like, just get me home.
Screw it. I'm spending $330. Yeah. I'm going home. Yeah. See, I would have sat there all day.
Uh-huh.
So that's
where the conflict in our relationship
would come up. Right, yeah. Right there. You would have been in the Uber, and I would have fought you on it, too.
You would have just stayed.
We're going to spend $330. No. We are staying here. Let's get a sandwich and relax.
And a spot on the floor.
Right. But this dude got home, and he had a great experience with the Uber driver. They talked about all sorts of things.
Oh, nice.
It's kind of a cool story. Real quick. Kathy, real fast. Go ahead.
Dad, you need to, stick to your guns there, Mark. I'm going all the way back to the time you told us about the shampoo you had to pick up for her with hundreds of dollars. You gotta put your foot down, man.
You're a loyal listener, Kathy. It was the conditioner. It was $60. Okay.
Let's get it. You gotta start this now, Mark, or you're gonna get into trouble later.
Okay, I know, Kathy. I know. Believe me. Thank you so much.
Tell her, Kathy said so.
Okay. All right. Kathy said so. I got it. I'll bring you this portion of the show. Thank you.
Here we go. It's just the beginning.
It's just the beginning. You're screwed, Carmen. You're not setting up fair boundaries. You're creating false expectations.
You're a work in progress. And so is she. Hopefully you guys can grow together.
That's so beautiful. Thank you, Kelly. It's great to be with you tonight, Kelly Kidley. This has been a lot of fun. Do we have one more timeout? Are we talking? We do. We have one more timeout. All right, real quick, and we'll wrap it up. 720 WGN. Kelly, do you know when you get to do one of these shows again? Do you have another one scheduled?
Yeah. Kathy and I will be back on next Friday from 1 to 3.
Aw, very fun. Kathy Hart.
Sorry.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just want to make sure that everybody knows that. Next Friday, 1 to 3. Put that on your schedule there, radio people.
And that will be p.m., not a.m.
Right, right. That's an afternoon.
Looking forward
You're
to
in
that.
For John Williams, sitting in with Kathy Hart, knocking down dreams and making things happen.
Absolutely.
Damn it.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. All right. Well, great to be with you tonight. Curtis, thank you for your support. David Jennings in news, Vic Vaughn in news. Young Connor with his contribution as well. Connor, you're on the mic right now. You did a great job.
Thank you.
Good luck with the becoming the greatest Frisbee player in the history of the game. You can do it.
Will do.
I love that attitude right there. And it was fun watching you and your mom tonight. All right, I am back tomorrow night. I think I'm by myself.
I can come back
in. Just feel free.
Okay. It's so much fun. But I might sleep on my couch.
Right.
At work down the street.
Hey, lots of options.